know what a hokey pokey is, but it sounds fun.
I don't think it's made with, it's a real koala.
I was tired, I was hungry, and I was hot. All of those three things combined equals Hurricane John.
Here's the problem I've always had with Helen Keller.
I seem weird? Like a lefty?
Pickles. They know me hate those pickles on me cheeseburgers.
I giggle every time at the cheeseburger thing here on Bless Their Hearts because you sound kind of like a pirate.
Oh, man.
They like these pickles on me cheeseburgers.
I don't, there's some stuff that Ray says in there, and I do not remember the context anymore.
Yeah. Was it about Helen Keller?
No.
I think about Helen Keller way too much.
Man, I don't think about her very often. When I do, it's a fun little rabbit hole.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot more podcasts with my new job and been listening to a lot of Dusty Slay, and he's on my side of Helen Keller history, but he's a little more extreme than I am. He's a funny guy. Public Figures Podcast. Go tell them they should let us on.
Mike, welcome back. You left us hanging last week, but you know, Jamie and I teased some stories, so I'm going to need you to go ahead and get those pulled up so we can remember those.
What kind of person takes a week off the second week?
What kind of people allow a new employee to come in and immediately take leave? So shame on us.
All right, John, you teased your stories, and I had to talk you down from telling them on the spot. So what you got?
Jamie, I'm not joking when I tell you that I have been like mad about this conversation that I had with a random woman who I have only met once and will probably never see again for the rest of my life. At least I hope I don't.
You have more, I don't know, controversial interactions with people in your life than I do. And I don't, am I doing something wrong or are you?
Jamie, the older I get, the more of an introvert I become. But I was at this conference and I was like, you know, the lady in front of me looks nice. Why don't I just try to start small talk? And these are the kinds of examples that will definitely make me never do this again. So this woman, she was wearing a Texas shirt. Everybody at this conference that was from Texas had on matching shirts. My wife happens to be from Texas. So I thought, you know what? I was like, ma'am, what part of Texas are you from? We started talking about
Texas. That's not very introverted of you.
I know. So we start talking. She's from Houston, and I tell her, you know, I live in Kentucky, but I met my wife in Tennessee, but she was originally from Texas. And she's like, oh, Tennessee, you know, they think they're the real UT, but we're the real UT, because she was a Texas Longhorns fan.
Were their shirts that burnt orange?
No, they weren't. They were baby blue.
I got to tell you, bro. That burn orange is so much better than your orange.
It's not.
I'm sorry.
It's not. But anyway, so I thought that was going to be the end of that. It's kind of a funny jab that we can have with each other and we can move on. But then Jamie, she is serious with this follow-up question. She says, well, Texas UT has several different, you know, off-site campuses. They have UT San Antonio. They have UT Houston. I bet UT Knoxville is just an offset of the University of Texas. And I laughed, and she kept going with it. She's like, I mean, Texas is so big. They've got stuff everywhere. So, yeah, that's probably what it is. This woman was not joking when she thought the University of Tennessee Knoxville was under the University of Texas umbrella of colleges.
I have so many questions about how she was educated enough to be at this work conference, yet she didn't know, because it's literally University of Tennessee.
Do you know,
at Knoxville?
That's not even the most infuriating part. Then she had the gall to say, and what's up with the Vols? Why are they called the Vols? It took every ounce of restraint in me not to stand up, slam my hands on the table, and say, you of all people should know darn well why they're called the Volunteers. Because earlier I said she lived in Houston, but I lied. She actually said she was from San Antonio. Do you know what's in San Antonio?
Why'd you lie?
I forgot.
The Alamo.
But it's critical. The Alamo. Do you know who protected the Alamo for Texas and allowed Texas to ultimately become a state of the United States of America?
Peyton Manning?
No. Close. Davy Crockett.
So a group of Tennessee, a group of Tennessee volunteers. A group of volunteers from Tennessee.
The president asked Tennessee if they would be willing to send 3,000 people to Texas to help defend Texas. Do you know how many Tennessee sent? 30,000, because they volunteered to go protect Texas. So you dirty, wretched woman from San Antonio, don't you ever question why the Vols are called the Vols and why you're not living in a state of Mexico when you actually live in Texas.
Mexico's a country. Also,
they aren't, but they don't have Texas anymore.
That's true. That's true.
Because of Tennessee. Infuriating.
How humble is it of Tennessee
left the training
to name their university after the one good thing they ever did? It's like, we're going to brag about this.
It's not the time.
Till the end of
time.
This
is not the time to... But, I mean, like...
The audacity.
If you're from Arkansas and question why we're the volunteers, I'm not going to get mad at you. But if you live in the one place that has the Alamo and we died protecting you, shame on you.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Shame on her.
I'm sorry. That's that is frustrating.
I'm out.
I'm more frustrated at her lack of knowledge of how universities work. I will say there's like an Indiana Wesleyan in Lexington, but it's Indiana. It's labeled clearly like, I don't know.
And Indiana touches Kentucky for right. what it's worth.
Tennessee, it needs to stop. It is not welcome. We don't want Indiana touching us. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, the older I get, I don't want nothing touching me.
Speaking of inappropriateness, I had to work at a graduation recently. So I work at a university now. We were voluntold to go and volunteer.
Can't say volunteers. Can you think of another word?
I said voluntold.
Okay. Still has vol in it.
You were
asked to?
I'm not talking about Tennessee.
Okay.
So Davy Crockett was there.
At least you acknowledge him.
I was told that I had to, what's another word for volunteer? I was told to criminal, no, loser.
You were forced against your will to work at a graduation.
It wasn't that intense. I was told I needed to go and spend my time there. So I get like the easiest job. It's basically stand in the hallway and point to different sections. So you go left or you go right. But I don't, like, if I think of an usher, I think they walk you up to your seat. I didn't go that far. I was out in the big concourse. I say big. The place holds like 7,000 people. So I'm standing there. And at one point, I look over. Let me just situate you here. Let's throw back, actually. You remember when I got cussed out at the district tournament game? And at the district basketball tournament by a parent?
I wasn't there for that. But do you remember that
happening? That, though, no. I was stationed at that spot.
Great.
Had to relive that the entire time. So just
trauma triggered the whole time.
The whole time. So if I'm standing with my back against the wall away from the gym.
Like you were when the parent was in your face yelling at you.
What if he was there? That would listen.
She graduated?
She's been to three colleges. So the men's bathroom is on my left and the women's bathroom is on my right. And to give you a little insight to what's happening here, on the left wall, there are two doors to the men's bathroom, and they are about 30 feet apart.
Okay. I know exactly where you are now.
Okay.
I got you.
So you go in, and you can go all through the bathroom, go out the other door. On the other side, women's is the same thing.
I wish that they wouldn't have put doors there. I wish that they've got it configured where it could just be a walk-in, walk-out situation without a door. Which
every bathroom should be like that.
Anyway,
yeah.
Continue.
No, completely agree. So I look over, and there's a guy coming out of the women's bathroom.
Okay.
And I start to freak out. But it's
2026, so you can't say anything.
I couldn't say anything, but I was like, that's weird. I mean, I'm not here to police bathrooms, so it's not really my job, whatever. So I ignored it. About 10 minutes later, I saw another man come out of the women's bathroom.
Something's going on here.
Something's up. What is happening? I bet you I saw 20 guys.
No way.
Throughout the course of time come out of the women's bathroom.
You've got to say something at that point.
At that point, I started just standing there, and when they started to go in, like I started watching the door for them to go in.
So is it not clearly marked?
Let me tell you what was happening. People were coming from the far side of the gym on the women's bathroom side. They were walking and saw a door that said women's bathroom. And then they came to another bathroom door and just assumed it was men's.
I mean, that is a logical assumption.
That is. So that's what every one of them came out like red-faced, embarrassed, and it was the same situation every time.
I mean, we've been in this facility numerous times. I've never seen that happen, and you saw it happen a lot.
I saw it happen in 1 hour, really. Like 20 guys at least tried to go into that door. At some point, I just started watching it. I'd be like, hey, men's is over here. It was whatever. Nobody else did, but it was just very odd to me that people, like, if you're familiar with a place and you're just comfortable and blindly walking, I guess I kind of get it. But if you're in a crowd of 6,000 people, I think I'm going to make sure I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man, that is wild.
It was weird. And then somebody came up and told me there were no paper towels in the men's room. And I was like, I don't. The only thing I can do is point. I don't know what you want me to do.
I mean, that's when I would just say, yeah, thank you. I'll take care of that.
I did say nothing
about it.
I did send a Teams message. I hate Teams so much, by the way, to one of the people coordinating the, I can't say the V word, the group of people spending their time. She was coordinating them. So I guess it got taken care of. That old guy was pretty upset about no, and he had crazy eyes too.
Oh yeah.
Crazy eyes.
You know, I mean, I'm thankful that in my life I've been in situations where they didn't have paper towels, but with everything else in my life going on, it just didn't ruin my day.
No, yeah. I mean, you just shake it out, man. Shake it out.
I wish that I had the kind of life that was just so cushy that would be the thing that would ruin my day.
Yeah, you know? I know. Yeah.
Like, my life is so good. I'm going to just find the most minuscule thing to complain about.
This minor inconvenience is terrible.
Come here, peasants. Let me wipe my hands on your shirt because your restrooms were out of paper towels.
I shouldn't have let him do that. Is that weird?
I'd give him my...
I realized I was the only person working that day that didn't wear maroon, so it was not good.
Good for you, man.
It's not good.
I mentioned 7 Brew on the show last week, and Michael reminded me of another 7 Brew situation I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So we get back, and this worker and I are going to transport a kid, and on our way to the kid, there's a 7 Brew. Nope. Not 7 Brew, a Dutch Bros. So man. I know.
Mike, which one?
Sorry.
Okay, Dutch Bros.
It's Dutch Bros. So we were going through the drive-thru, and I'm figuring out what I want. She's figuring out what she wants. Well, the lady comes to our car. She rolls down the window, and there is a smell. Jamie, I know that I did not pass gas, but I know somebody did. And I know that there's only one other person in the car with me, and it is just so strong that I forget what my order is. The lady says, and sir, what would you like? And I'm like, I'm disoriented because it stinks so bad. And so I finally get my wits and I order, and then she rolls her window up and she looks at me and I look at her. I was like, bro, that's unprofessional. And she's like, did you think that was me? And I was like, well, it wasn't me. And I don't think the woman outside whose butt was facing the other way, I don't think it would make its way into the car. We both look past where the woman would have been sitting or standing. And there is a sewer truck that is pumping something out of a restaurant next to us, which, you know, the truck I'm talking about is what would go up into a residential area and suck up the gunk from a septic tank. So I don't know what is happening at this restaurant. Maybe a grease trap coffee. Or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Jamie, the smell was putrid. But yeah, I straight up thought that she had just soiled herself next to me.
That's pretty funny. Also, putrid would have been a great 90s rock band name.
Michael, take a note of that.
Next time I start a 90s rock band, we'll do that. All of my stories involve that graduation. So here we go.
All right.
Let me propose you with a scenario.
Are you proposing to me?
No.
Okay.
So let's say you're helping out at a graduation, and you see a friend. Like, okay. I saw a couple of people I knew. I saw a friend approaching. It's a woman, and she is married to one of my friends, and she's with a different guy.
Okay.
It's not her husband. So, and it's just the two of them. They're obviously not in a bigger group. What's your first thought and how do you approach the situation?
Do you know the other person?
No, never seen him before.
Okay. I guess I need a little more context. So does this lady that you know work at the institution?
No, they were there for a graduate, but I didn't know that at the time.
I guess because I'm going to give my friends, like my real friends, the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to assume that somehow they both know each other through the person graduating.
That's your assumption.
But I'm also going to be in the back of my mind taking mental notes to watch their body language and how they act when they leave my presence and then just watch their mannerisms while they sit with each other.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably right.
Was it my wife?
I got something I need to talk to you about.
No.
No. So this was my friends are Kenny and Kelly. So it was Kelly.
Okay.
And she's walking up with this random dude. And I don't like honestly didn't even cross my mind. I was like, oh, there's Kelly. And she's like, he's my brother-in-law. Like immediately. I was like, what? She's like, my sister's graduating and he's my brother-in-law. Not in a guilty way.
That makes it more suspicious.
She said it in a funny way. It wasn't as suspicious. Talked to her brother-in-law for a while. Funny dude.
And he's like, I'm not related to this woman.
No, she's lying. He did actually. He was like, I'm not married. I don't know what she's talking about. Like, he played it up well. That was really funny. But it was really good. So she does have an older sister, and we talk for a minute. But
Our friend Kenny, if he still listens to this, is rather livid right now.
Well, about 5 minutes later, I texted Kenny. I said, if your wife does not have a sister or her sister is not married, we have to have an awkward conversation.
Hey, good for you, man.
Yeah.
That's the kind of friend people need.
Yeah. I mean, I would have, if she hadn't done that and it was shady, you got to tell them, right?
Next week on True Crime Cast, we talk about the domestic violence situation happening at EKU's graduation.
No. So the brother-in-law is really funny, but it was, it's funny that she initiated that part of the conversation, which I guess she thought of it before, but I don't know. Didn't know she'd run into people she knew. Also never knew she had a sister.
Yeah. Well,
she showed me pictures and everything. She made sure I understood.
Man, what a guilty conscience.
Right? Right? It was like she was trying to cover something up. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. It was very funny. And I texted Kenny pretty immediately. He thought it was funny as well, thankfully. So it was pretty good.
I think that's all the stories I wrote down. I will tell you though that, which you already know this, but I remember what feels like yesterday bringing my little boy into the house in his little, carrier strapped in with the little 5-point harness. And now that young man's driving by himself.
Yeah,
and
man.
I bet I have aged a year in less than 24 hours.
It's a lot.
Because he wants to be on the road all the time. So
yeah, it's a lot. It's scary. Thankfully, I think he's a pretty trustworthy guy. It's going to make some good decisions. I can't imagine him out there drag racing or anything. So I feel pretty good about him being on the roads. I hate them growing up, dude. I guess it's part of life. I know he's super excited. So I just hope that you, I don't know. You teach him about how much gas costs.
Oh yeah. He's going to find out. I did give him he did start his adventures in life in his own car with a full tank of gas. And that was the last one his dad will do. Yeah. I say that. You know that's not true.
Yeah, anytime me or Angie drive Gavin's truck, we end up putting gas in it. But the first time he put gas in the truck, his eyes were so big. It was so funny. It's like, you didn't know how much this cost, did you? It was pretty funny. So my last graduation story is really just one about one I imagine that I met and talked to future John at this graduation.
Okay.
This old man couldn't even talk very well. He was talking like this. Like I could barely hear him. But he was waiting on his wife to come out of the bathroom and he just struck up a conversation.
Yep.
Do you live around here? And then he told me about all of his grandkids that have graduated from that university, his son-in-law has, where they live, where he drove from, and which roads he took. And we spent a long time talking about how much better the roads are from Johnson City to here than they used to be.
Oh my gosh, he even lives in East Tennessee.
He does. It was great. It was like future John. His wife came out of the bathroom and he just kind of waved her on and kept talking to me so she could go to their seat. And we talked for so long about quality of roads. And I just thought this is something that, I don't know. This is good. This is what society should be.
Well, I mean, and you know, put yourself in his shoes. Tennessee does not have the amount of taxes that Kentucky has. So while that really sucks for us, like right now financially, it also, like when you exit Tennessee and get into Kentucky, there is a pretty noticeable difference in the roads in Kentucky. Tennessee roads will beat you to death, but Kentucky roads, pretty nice.
Maybe they should have volunteers fix those.
I think they do. It takes forever to get projects done.
It's our job to say when we go to commercial. You don't get to just push the button.
My God, you're off 1 week and already screwing stuff up.
John, I emailed you an agenda for our conversation.
Oh, I have my own agenda.
Oh, is it hidden?
It's a hidden agenda.
Okay. We have covered the history of toilets and the history of hot dogs. And I don't know that we're going to top either of those, because those are two topics that are just prime for this podcast. But I wanted to go to dig into history a little more to talk about one of my favorites, the donut.
Let me ask you, tell me, like, what is the best donut for you?
I am donut agnostic for the most part.
You don't believe in them? You don't know that they exist?
No, I like all of them. I don't have a particular one that I follow.
Okay.
I can go, like, you give me a Krispy Kreme hot off the line, even though it's that thin yeasty stuff. Oh,
that
so
is
good.
That is a great donut. Is your, like, so let's say that the sign's on at Krispy Kreme, you go in, every donut's fresh. Is the original simple glazed donut your go-to?
Yeah, maybe I don't think it falls into this category. Apple fritter is my favorite pastry, but if I'm getting a donut, I'm old school. Just give me some glaze and let's go.
There's really three that I want from Krispy Kreme. There's the original, the glazed. There's the glazed with the chocolate frosting on top. And then there's a frosted raspberry filled donut from Krispy Kreme. And that one it's my wife's favorite for sure, but it's probably mine too.
I don't like donuts filled very much. I also like cake donuts. So I like a variety. I don't know that I could
pick the blueberry cake donut.
Oh,
that's really good.
It is the money. It's so good.
We live in a region that has a lot of really good donut places. There's a couple of specialty donut places north of us. There's a place in Lexington called Spalding's. It's really good. So we just live in a very nice donut.
It's very donut-y around here.
Michael.
I saw you squeeze your nose. I thought you were done doing that. I thought you were ready to lean into the sneeze.
No, I need to be alone for that.
I really think that's why your ears don't work. I think you've busted them by holding your nose when you sneeze.
Probably. They're popping a lot right now.
So apparently,
I'm so diabetic, just the talk of donuts is making me tired.
Golly. The history of donuts, I'm sure there's debate about this, but I think it originated with the Dutch settlers.
Okay, my notes say that there's a little bit before that, but it okay. does.
What do you have before that?
So fried donuts, they say, according to Claude, date back to ancient civilizations with the Romans, Greeks, and Native Americans all made versions of fried dough treats.
Mm.
But then it says a Dutch settlement brought oily cakes.
Oily cakes.
Yeah, they brought those oily to cakes. America in the 18th century. They were dense, sweet dough balls fried in pork fat.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound amazing?
That sounds amazing. An oily cake.
Yeah. So they settled in New York City, where they started selling them. They weren't rings. They were just dough balls that were deep fried. Sometimes they filled them with nuts or fruit and marketed them that way. So it wasn't like the flavored donut is a new invention. They've always had variety, which I think is important for those traditional donut people like me to know it's okay to get stuff on your donut. They always have had it. It's not something for the kids.
you probably have this in front of you, but without looking, would you have remembered how the hole in the donut came to be?
I do not know. Will you tell me that story?
Yeah, the hole was credited to Hanson Gregory. He was a sea captain who in 1847 reportedly punched a hole in the center so the dough would evenly, or so that basically you could hang on the ship's wheel. So he was eating some kind of big dough oily cake and then I guess stabbed it on the handle of his ship, you know, the round wheel, the wooden wheel I'm talking about with the pegs that come up on a pirate ship.
I hope the Marines weren't using pirate ships in the, well, I guess that's 1840, not 1940. Probably they were. They didn't have a lot of steel back then. Not as much anyway. Yeah, I see that. There's also the version where he just did it so they would cook better in the middle, because if it's a dough ball, it's harder to cook in the middle. But if it's a ring, you kind of have every part's an edge.
And I love the fact that I can go in and just order those donut holes now.
Yeah, I mean, what else are they going to do with them? When we make homemade donuts, we just use like a thimble to poke them out.
You make homemade donuts?
John, have you never had our homemade donuts?
I want a homemade donut.
So we make glaze with coffee. So they're what? Coffee glazed.
How often are y'all cranking out donuts over there?
Not enough, I'll tell you
that. I need to get you a neon sign to hang in the window so I can see the sign on and come get a donut.
You should. They are mini donuts, but we make...
Like a lot of them?
Yes, we make mini, mini donuts.
I was going to say you said thimble, so that's a pretty small donut hole.
I think so. I don't really know what a thimble is. So, I know you don't. Donut. How do you spell it?
D-O-U-G-H. N-U-T?
So some places spell it that way, which makes sense.
But it's D-O-N-U-T most of the time, right?
Why is the word nut even in there? I know they occasionally put some tree nuts in them, but I don't like it. Why isn't it just a dough ball? Or dough cake? Dough cake. Oily cake. So
Then I couldn't say your donuts make me go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm often saying that.
That's how it went. They shortened the word first around 1900 with a baker in Pennsylvania his bakery was named Peck's Bad Boy. That's pretty great for 1900. So he did that to simplify the spelling to try to make it stand out of just being different from other donut places. And then the New York-based Display Donut Machine Corporation shortened it as well to make it easier to spell for global marketing. Early Americans also called them sinkers, a nickname that originated in New York City, originally applied to biscuits so heavy they'd sink to the bottom of your belly, which is how I like them.
That's amazing.
I love sinkers.
Apparently donuts became very popular in the U.S. after World War I. It's because the Salvation Army volunteers fried them up for soldiers from America while they were in France. So they had a little treat after they came off the combat field.
Besides fries, that's the best thing France has ever given us.
Yeah. I think we should call them American fries now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already renamed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. I think we should call them American fries.
Weren't they calling
them
like
nothing more American freedom than fries something or deep something? Fried anyway. Why not?
I mean, donuts are deep fried.
Yeah. We should call those... American
nope,
donuts.
Nope, no. Okay, good. What? I thought you were just going to say America lead off the dough. Can't do that.
American, no. Hey, did you know, this is not on my script, did you know that there's a gas station in the town north of us called Dough Daddy's?
Yeah.
And if you go in and buy any amount of gas, you can buy a dollar of gas and go in and they will give you a free donut.
Yes, and they are very good.
And I thought the person telling me this was just trying to pull my leg. But they did it.
Was it Matt?
Matt. No, it
Matt's
was another.
A liar. I'm just kidding.
Another guy.
He's great.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. So now I go 40 miles up the road to buy gas because I get a free donut.
I like it.
I'm kidding.
No, it's not worth the gas anymore. You can buy 2 dozen donuts for a thimble of gas.
Yeah.
I don't know what a thimble is. So like we mentioned, there are different types of donuts. The yeast donut is the OG. Which I guess I would have guessed.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know. I don't really know what yeast is either. Does it like live or something?
Yeah, it's alive.
So baking powder hadn't been invented yet. So the earliest American donuts were yeast risen. And obviously they talk about bread in the Bible with yeast and without yeast. So the dough loosely resembles brioche, eggs, butter, flour, sugar. Michael, you know we can't say these words. Salt, yeast mixed, kneaded, and proofed for frying. Yeast donuts can also be left with a hole to be filled with cream or jelly. Again, I don't like fillings in my donuts, especially when nobody tells me. That surprise donut filling is not welcome.
That's surprising because there are so many good creams. I mean, I don't like the yellow cream, but I love the raspberry. And then you can get chocolate too. And then the white cream. I don't know what that is. Vanilla.
Yeah, maybe? I'm sure it is. Is the yellow banana?
Maybe. That's terrible.
Anything banana flavored that doesn't have real bananas is terrible. Bro, let's stop right here. I went to visit my mom for Mother's Day and I saw my nephew. And you know that I've been eating a lot of candy because I'm fat. I had a box of Runts there and he picks it up and starts eating. And let me tell you, I had finished the Runts and left the banana ones because they're terrible.
And who is this?
Caleb.
Okay.
Who we allegedly prank called a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, these are the best ones.
Oh, so man. Who hurt him?
He's dead to me now.
Yeah.
We're done.
I mean, but also we need to add him to our prayer list because obviously something's
wrong. He likes the banana Runts the best. Ugh, gross.
Man. Which do you think came first, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
I assume Dunkin'. I don't know why. I just feel like that's a more established brand.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's the opposite. Krispy Kreme was founded in 1937 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dunkin' Donuts followed in 1950 from Quincy, Maine, I guess.
I know we...
Maine. M-A? Is that Maine?
I think so. We haven't gotten... I think M-A is Massachusetts. I think M-E is Maine. Say it,
so...
Yeah, the one that's with Boston. So, yeah, I guess we had Krispy Kremes around here before Dunkin'. And Dunkin's leaned into coffee a little heavier. So I feel like they're not putting as much attention into their donuts. They started making cake donuts in the 1830s. And that's essentially when baking powder came around. People are like, let's make some donuts with this. So they're denser and they're quicker to make, but they lack the airiness and the chewiness of donuts because it is like you're eating a piece of cake. So really that's the difference. Yeast versus baking powder.
I got some fun facts for you here about donuts. Let me play a little game here. Over under, how many donuts are consumed each year by Americans? Would you say it's over or under 11 billion?
Billion with a B?
Yeah.
I assume that means it's in the billions, so.
Or is it?
What if it's like 9? No, I eat 9 a day. I'll say under just because I think you're baiting me.
It is slightly under. 10 billion donuts per year are consumed by Americans. In unrelated news, America tops the world's charts of most obese people living in one place.
Yeah. This is what we call cause and effect, friends.
The world's largest donut was made in 1993 in Utica, New York. It weighed 3,700 pounds, which is how much I'll weigh if I continue eating donuts.
You eat 10 billion donuts. That's how much you can go with. The glaze was popularized by Krispy Kreme in the early 20th century.
Thank you for that. I want to fact check this, but what do you think is ranked as the most popular donut flavor in the United States?
I would think it's just glazed. What do you got?
This says Boston cream.
Well, I guess a lot of people live in Boston. I'm just kidding. I don't... Again, I don't like the cream. I could see that, but I just don't like it at all.
Anything else?
I have a note that there was a Cambodian donut revolution in the 70s.
What do you mean?
We're going to find out together. So there was a guy named Ted Noy who boarded the last passenger plane out of Cambodia to get away from a monarch. And he landed in Southern California and he worked three jobs and he was looking for he's chasing the American dream. And when a coworker gave him a donut, that's when he realized what his dream was. So he ended up opening a shop called Christie's Donuts in Cambodia in 1979. And it really blew up. And by the 90s, there were about 1,500 Cambodian-owned donut shops in California. So basically, in the 70s, Cambodians found out about donuts, and they took the lead on opening up shops.
Okay. Fun fact is donuts are consumed in space. Allegedly, astronauts from NASA can take donuts on missions as kind of a comfort food while on board.
Why can they take those?
I say allegedly because I just don't think.
I don't think we've been to space, but why can they take that in other things?
Yeah, right? Like, are they also like the dehydrated?
Do they have to be unleavened?
I don't know. Well, I don't think that all astronauts are Jewish. So
my list has Boston cream is number three. Glazed, chocolate frosted, Boston cream, old fashioned, which apparently has crunchy edges, and then jelly or strawberry filled.
I believe that a lot more than what Claude pulled up. Michael, if you could also fact check this stuff before I get it, that'd be great.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. See, a lot of different types. I mean, the Long John, how you feel about Long Johns?
You know,
it's
I love
in
it.
Your name.
Yeah, I love a Long John. It's basically three donuts in one with chocolate and cream. I mean, sign me up.
My research does classify an apple fritter as donut. It's got chunks of cinnamon spiced apple folded into the dough. So would be my favorite.
Yeah. Is a croissant not a donut because it's baked and not deep fried?
Yes.
Because I love a good croissant too.
Yeah, I do too. After you get out, like there are other types of pastries and I just don't know the difference, but I could go croissant, but yeah, those are baked for sure. I really love a good donut and this has made me very hungry.
Yeah.
But apple fritters are my go-to always. I always think I'm going to eat like five and halfway through the first one, I feel terrible.
There was this little lady that would make a fried apple pie for me. And basically it was a huge donut, no hole in the middle, but then filled with fried apples. Dude, it would change your life.
Sounds incredible.
Your blood sugar would go through.
So tell me about this lady and where to find her.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Does she have a sister at graduation?
She has a lot of sisters, and I bet they all make fried donuts.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I bet they do. That's great.
We'll have to talk off the air about who you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, we appreciate you, everybody but Michael, and I don't know. It's been fun. If you want us to do the history of something else, let us know because we like looking into history and talking. My mouth is literally watering right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go try to find a donut. Next time you all make donuts, please holler at your boy.
Next time you make donuts, go leave us a review. 5 stars, preferably.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, tell us your favorite donut. I'd love to hear it.
In the reviews. All right, bye.
Love you all. See you next time.
You've listened to Bless Their Hearts, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and go check us out on Stoveleg.com where you can learn more about Jamie and John. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.